Amen. Please be seated. I don't know how many of you pray on your knees. How many of you pray on your knees? Does that happen anymore? A few. We have a few who would say you pray on your knees. So praying on our knees. Thanks, Paula. Beautiful song. It's kind of a unique sort of experience because sometimes the actual posture of prayer makes a difference in the experience of prayer for the individual. And so we pray that maybe sometimes you might experiment. We're going to think together about how we shape our lives from a spiritual perspective today. You might experiment somewhat with the opportunity to think about being prayerfully on your knees. I'd invite your prayers. Tomorrow morning, I start a teaching session with a group of 31 pastors and Christian leaders from around the world. And we're going to start on our knees. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about, says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom all creation derives its name." So we kneel before the Father and we'll offer ourselves in prayer. This morning we're beginning a six-part series that will take us starting today and on through a good part of the rest of the summer, thinking about six different key ingredients that we need to be thinking about as we think about the church moving forward into the future. So every church moves forward into the future. It just depends on whether you move forward with a spirit and with a plan, with some kind of sequence. But today we're going to think about what it means to be people who are shaped by the Spirit and who see spiritual formation, spiritual development as a foundation ingredient for each one of us. And as we go through the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about some other elements. We're calling this spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T. So we're thinking about spiritual formation. We're going to think about people loving other people. We're going to think about investing strongly in small groups. We're going to think about relevant worship, about intergenerational mission ministry, and about learning to continually trust one another. Those six ingredients are essential for us as we think about who we are today as individuals, but also who we think we are as a congregation. So as we talk about spiritual formation, we typically talk about spiritual formation as a very individualized kind of experience, but it really is a congregational kind of journey as well. So we're going to read from the book of 1 Timothy. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. So if you're looking on in the bulletin, that passage has changed a bit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Paul is writing to his young friend Timothy, and he's giving him some instructions about how his life might grow and change. And we'll learn from those instructions. Paul says, "If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness has value in every way, holding promises for both the present life and for the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourselves to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we pray together that we would understand more about what it means to be people who live lives that are godly, and what it would be like to be someone in training for godliness. So we ask, God, that you would use these few moments together that we might experience the fullness of your grace, that we might know more about the gift that you have offered to us and about the possibilities, the incredible possibilities that are on the horizon. And we thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, some of you might recognize a young man who graduated from Lutheran High School just in the neighborhood a few years ago. He kind of got a little bit of press because he was the very first high school student to participate in a cross-country race using a wheelchair. And he completed the race in a remarkable way. His name is Christian Murphy. So Christian started off as a young person who had lots and lots of difficulties in his life. He had a birth process that left him with a spinal injury, and that spinal injury left him unable to walk. And shortly after his birth, his parents were concerned about this injury that he had, and so they abandoned him into an orphanage. He was in Western Romania. So there he is. He's in a Romanian orphanage, and he's placed in an orphanage, one of the worst of the bunch at the time. And he was placed in an orphanage that was focused on children who had had cognitive disabilities. But there was nothing wrong with Christian's thinking. He was a bright, intelligent young man, but he had a lot of physical disabilities. He had one leg that didn't work at all. In fact, his hip was so far out of sequence that it just stuck straight up in the air. His leg just stuck straight up in the air. So the only way that he could move was scooting around on his rear, moving with two hands and one foot with a leg sticking straight up in the air. Some of you might remember that a news crew from Denver Channel 4 went to visit some of those orphanages in Eastern Europe to be able to do a kind of an expose on some of the things that they were finding there. And while they were there, they met Christian. And Christian he was not camera shy. He stayed with them the whole time. And anytime there was a camera that was out, Christian was right there, scooting around to be able to make himself known and to be able to talk with the people who were coming in. So he did his level best to be able to communicate. And a group of folks here in the area saw Christian's story on TV. And one particular family said, "We've got to do something about that." They fell in love with Christian by remote control. And they started off a process to try to raise enough money to be able to get a surgical procedure for Christian so that his hip and his leg might work. Well, they were able to raise the money, and they brought him here, and he had surgery, and his repair was successful, but he was still in a wheelchair, and he was always going to be in a wheelchair. But after a period of time, that family not only cared for his health, his physical health, but they adopted him into their family. And for a number of years, Christian was a regular participant in our annual Christmas party for adopted Romanian kids. Remarkable young man. Not only did he compete in cross country in his wheelchair, but today he is an international wheelchair athlete. He skis, he rock climbs, he does remarkable things. But his life started off as a disaster, started off with absolutely no hope at all. But God had a plan. And the plan came into life, and the plan continues to inspire me. I'm inspired by people who are able to overcome obstacles, aren't you? Not just obstacles like Christians, but every single one of us has obstacles in our lives. Every single one of us have things that we have to overcome, things that we have to do, things that we remarkably have to move forward to be able to make progress. And so when we think about how we're inspired by that kind of life like Christians, we want to learn some about what we can from his journey, so that we can understand more about our journey. So as we read in the New Testament, we read this little passage from the book of 1 Timothy, and we hear this interaction between the Apostle Paul, who frankly sometimes writes things in kind of a convoluted way. Have you noticed that? Sometimes when you're reading along in the New Testament and you're reading the writings of the Apostle Paul, you might start at the beginning of the sentence and get to the end and say, wow, I wonder what happened there, you know? But in 1 Timothy, it's different. It's pretty straightforward. It's right on target because it's the mentor speaking to his student. And he has a great desire to do that with extraordinary clarity because he wants to get the point across. And so Paul speaks to Timothy, and he begins to give him some instruction about how he might live his life. And those instructions contain this one image that Paul adds because he knows it will communicate to this young man who is energetic and even athletic, just like Christian. And he begins to talk to him about physical training. And he says that physical training is of some value, but training in godliness has value for all things, both in this life and for the life to come. So what is Paul going to invite Timothy to do? Focus on his spiritual training. Focus on training in godliness, as Paul puts it. And in that process of thinking about training in godliness, he gives him some instruction about some specific things that he can do. And for every single one of us, there are specific things that we can do that will help our lives move forward, help us to overcome spiritual obstacles that get in our way and allow us to move forward and to grow in our faith as individuals and as an entire congregation as well. So when we think about the future, we think about touching the future. We know that foundationally, as a congregation and as individuals of Christian faith, that one of the ways that we're going to touch the future is by allowing our faith to be able to grow. I'm always interested in the fact that people have a tendency to think about congregational life in a pretty simple way sometimes. And I don't know, this might be a part of your thought process as well. It was certainly a part of my process originally. I thought if I just show up, something good might happen, you know? And it's like showing up was part of the deal. That maybe was the high point of the deal, was just showing up, you know? But the truth is, even though showing up can make a difference in your journey, there's another way to be able to do it that will allow you to grow remarkably. And that's what happens when athletes train, right? When athletes train, you don't decide you're going to run a marathon and go for a walk around the block today and run a marathon tomorrow, right? You just don't do that. It's a sequence of getting better progressively. And so we want to think about how we might get better progressively in terms of the depth of our Christian faith. And there's some ingredients that we can think about that will help us do exactly that. One of the things that we need to do from the very start is we need to have a model that is in front of us, a mentor, a coach. So for Timothy, it was the Apostle Paul who showed him the way. But we model our lives after other people. And when we see people of spiritual depth, we begin to grow into their shape. We begin to see ourselves as possible because of what we see in their journey. For me, my life was changed because of a young pastor who invested in me and a good friend of mine who just simply loved me and wouldn't stop praying for me. And they made a remarkable difference in my life, not because of the things that they said, but because of the things that they did. And the way that they lived their lives and the fact that they let me see how they were living their lives. They let me model my life after their lives. We need a coach. We need a mentor. But we also need a team. And when we think about a team, we're talking about the life of the church. Now, for every single one of us, the life of the church is a critical component for us. But when we come to worship, when we show up in worship and we expect God to do something remarkable for us and we expect to run a marathon tomorrow, that may or may not happen. But when we bring together the team with a coach, then some remarkable things can happen. As a student in high school, I was a certified second string lineman on the football team. Never got any better than that. But certified second string lineman, Coach Lou Rillis never would give me an assignment to say, you know, you are a guard or a tackler or a center. He just said, you're just going to be a lineman. That's what you're going to do, you know. So that meant I went wherever I was supposed to go, wherever he said I was supposed to go. So we would show up on the practice field, and we'd show up in the field, and Coach Rillis would make us run. And we'd run till we were about to drop. We couldn't run anymore. And then he would bring us over, and we would do drills. And then when we were done with those drills, he would make us run again. And then after we were done running, he would take the second string and put us out so that we could be tackling dummies for the first string so that they could get their practice in. And then when we had done with that, he made us run again. I hated every minute of it. Every minute of it, you know? But I got better. I got better. And you know what? If I would have just gotten a few of my friends together and said, hey, let's go out and practice football, do you think we would have run that much? Do you think we would have invested in the same way? No. We had a coach who led the way. It was a spirit of accountability, and people respond to accountability. And we had a team, and we were part of something that was bigger than just ourselves. So spiritual formation is always an individual process for every single one of us, a foundational, essential process, but it's also a process that brings together the whole, brings together the church. And there's no better way that the church comes together as that team than in a smaller setting, in a small group, in a men's breakfast or a women's gathering or a Bible study or a dinner group or whatever it might be. No better way that happens in a group of 10 or 12 or 15 people where you can know each other, you can love each other, you can pray for each other, you know exactly where you're going together. That kind of team makes all the difference. But we not only need a coach or a mentor, we not only need a team, but we also have to have a plan. The plan is a critical part of the process. A plan that involves something more than just showing up. A plan that says, I'm even going to write this down. I'm going to put it on paper. I'm going to say, here is my plan. So over the past couple of months, Sue and I have been inviting folks into our home. And we've had, by the time we get to the end of the month, we'll have over 200 people who have come and spent some time with us. And many of you I have forced to walk in our garden. So thank you for being considerate of walking in my garden. I'm growing some grapes out in the garden. And I don't know if you've ever grown grapes or not, but I have a friend who has a vineyard down in Delta. So I called John and I said, John, what do I need to do to fertilize these grapes so I can get the best crop? And he sends me back this long email with details about the type of fertilizer and how to prune them and how to care for them and all this stuff. And I wrote him back and I said, John, I think you're mistaken about this. I have these little sticks that I bought at the nursery that I poked in the ground, and they're starting to get leaves. What should I do next? And he says, just let them grow. Just let them grow. But you know what will happen to grapes if you just let them grow forever? You know what? I mean, they'll develop foliage. They might even develop some fruit. But if there's nothing to hold them up, if there's no trellis or no system, no structure, they'll just grow all over the ground, and you'll have one big giant mess. But if there is a trellis, if there is a structure, then they will grow, and they will catch the sun, and they will flourish, and they will develop fruit, and they will do exactly what God intended for them to do. And the same is true of our lives as well. In the early church, there were key spiritual leaders who came together and said, if you would like to grow, if you'd like to flourish, if you'd like to bear fruit, if you'd like your life to grow into the image that God originally intended, then here's a way you can do it. Follow these rules. Here's a rule about how you might pray. Here's a rule about how you might serve others. Here's a rule about how you might express your life in a spirit of generosity. Here's a rule about how you might see yourself meditating and being in silence and being just intimately connected to God. And they would give them these sets of rules to be able to follow. And the rules provided a structure for them so that their lives could flourish. And as it turns out, exactly the same word that is used to describe that rule is exactly the same word that is used to describe a trellis. They do the same thing. They do exactly the same thing. A trellis gives the plant structure so it can grow, so it can reach the sun, so it can bloom, so it can bear fruit, so it can do the things that it was originally designed to do. Your life and my life were designed to bear fruit. Fruit that will last, the Gospel of John says. And that fruit will be a great blessing if we allow it to develop with a plan. I'd invite you to develop a plan. Get a trellis around your faith and allow your life to grow toward the Son of God. And when that happens, remarkable things begin to unfold. When we think about having a mentor, we think about being a part of a team. Think about having a plan. The last component is maybe the most important of any of them. You know what it's like to kind of get on board and get connected and feel like you're moving and then all of a sudden just kind of fade away. So the last part of the plan is about endurance. Do you think I would tell you the story of Christian Murphy if he never finished the race? If he just barely got off the starting line and never went any farther than that? No. We talk about Christian because he endured. He persevered. He did the things that he needed to do for the long haul. And that's a part of the Christian journey as well. It's not about a stutter and a start. It's about the long haul. It's about being engaged. It's about continuing to grow. Because there's never a point where we have the privilege of just simply stopping in our spiritual journey. We always have the opportunity to grow and to bear fruit. Fruit that will last in remarkable ways. And so, enduring. The Apostle Paul talked about this whole thing of enduring, about persevering in the book of Romans, where he said that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His Spirit into our hearts. The Spirit of God wants to pour out into your heart that you might experience the gift of hope, and that hope would motivate you and move you toward new possibilities that maybe you have yet to discover. And that is true whether you are brand new on the journey, taking the very first steps, or whether you have been walking the journey for many, many years. For every single one of us, there are obstacles to overcome. There are relationships that can engage us. There's a plan that can come together. There's an accountability structure that we call the church. And there's the opportunity to endure, to persevere, and to discover the hope and the grace of God lived out through our own lives. I want that. I want that. I want that for all of us because it's a gracious gift of God. Let's pray together. Lord, your day is unfolding before us. And we ask God that you would use this day in remarkable ways. Through your grace and in your power, you would grant us incredible blessing. So we open our lives to you just now, Lord. We think about where we have been and where we might go and what it means to be foundationally engaged as individuals and as a congregation in spirits that are alive and growing. Lord, we set our sails and we ask that the wind of your Spirit would fill them and send us into the future to be your fruitful people. We pray that it would be so in the matchless name of Jesus, who is Lord of all. Amen. Amen.